97.7 EXT, Dave Michaels, and a pleasure to have on the phone with us the groundbreaking vocalist, songwriter, and bass player from legendary rock groups Eagles and Poco. Please welcome Rock and Roll Hall of Famer Timothy B. Schmidt. Timothy, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Wonderful to talk to you. Now, you have a run of East Coast shows I want to mention in support of Leap of Faith, your brand new 12-track solo album. You're coming to the Cohoes Music Hall Tuesday, April 25th at 7:30 p.m. Tickets are available at the Palace Theater box office and online at Ticketmaster.com. Your first new solo album since 2009, but you've hardly been idle, right? You've been playing with a variety of artists, Wynonna Judd, Diana Krall, the Blind Boys of Alabama, just to name a few, right?
Well, those people you just mentioned were people that I sang for on their records. I didn't really tour with them or anything. But yeah, I keep really busy. While I was making this record, I was very busy with the Eagles. So doing our History of tour. So that's why it took so long. But I keep really busy. In fact, yesterday or the day before yesterday, I did some singing for Ringo Starr. So yeah, I keep myself occupied.
Well, talk to us about Leap of Faith. It's a strong mix of rock, country, Americana, R&B, even a little bit of reggae. Tell us how the songs came about.
Well, they would all be individual, but basically the thing that they have in common, I guess, is that I come out to my studio or sometimes wherever I am and I get an idea. Sometimes I'm just walking down the street, which happened for the new single, What I Should Do. I actually came up with that idea walking down Columbus Avenue in New York. And I ducked into an alcove and sang a bit into my phone so I wouldn't forget it. And that's how that started. But basically these songs as they come, I write them and then record them. And then when I have enough for an album, if they seem like a coherent bunch, I put them together on one unit.
Now, Timothy, you've been a bass player for as long as I know. Why did you pick up the bass?
Well, first of all, I play guitar on every one of these songs. Well, actually, I took it out on one song, but I start my songs playing guitar. And then when I'm in concert, I play 85% guitar probably. And I started with my friends in Sacramento, California, where I grew up. We started picking up instruments, and when we picked up a drummer to go electric, we all wanted to play lead guitar. So we all played different instruments on all these different songs, and it became very apparent and very clear who should be playing what after a while. And I ended up playing the bass, which I was certainly no booby prize. It was something I really enjoyed then and still do.
Timothy, take us back to the start. You picked up playing the bass and you began a folk group, Tim Tom and Ron, back in your mid-teens, right? It was a folk group, but it eventually evolved, I guess, into a surf band?
Yes, you've been doing your homework. Actually, I wasn't even on my mid-teens. I have a picture of me when I was just barely 14.
Wow.
Probably had just turned. I'm looking at it now. I have it up because it's one of the first shows we ever did. I had just turned 14, and we played a lot of folk music, and we were just learning our craft. Eventually, within a couple of years, we wanted to. There were some bands around Sacramento that were really exciting to us. We wanted to do that, so we borrowed some, you know, electric instruments, really, and at first, anyway, and we borrowed them, and we found a guy who had some drums, so he was in the band, and we were way into it, so we practiced a lot, and one thing led to another. We eventually made our first record together that was released in 1966, just out of high school.
Wow.
They're showing my age right there.
Well, that band, it's morphed into the Contenders, right? And then changed the name to New Breed or The Breed. And you guys had a big radio hit, the Animals-inspired Green-Eyed Woman, released in 1965.
Yeah, that we heard ourselves on the radio when we were on the radio when we were still teenagers. That was a lot of fun and really exciting.
And you were...
It didn't continue. My career didn't continue on a steady incline. There was definitely some bumps in the road, but I was bound and determined and to do the best I could with it, and it seems to have worked out.
Well, you overcame any of those bumps in the road. They were moderate speed bumps, if that, because, well, Poco formed out of the ashes of Buffalo Springfield in 1968. You joined the group about a year later, and you helped steer that band into its pioneering fusions of country, rock, and folk. And a number of years later, Keep On Trying, from the band's ninth album, Head Over Heels, became the band's most successful single. 12 albums in, and you call it quits.
Yeah, well, I had an offer I couldn't refuse.
You did. That offer coming from the Eagles, right?
Yeah, I got a call from Glenn Frey, one morning, and he asked me if I was, he told me the other guy, Randy, was quitting, and that he wanted to know if I was interested. And of course I was interested.
Of course. Well, you joined the Eagles in 1977, and by that time, the Eagles were a well-oiled machine. Did it take some time adjusting? Did the guys let you into the fold that easy? Was it an easy transition?
It was fairly easy. It was only in that I thought it was a perfect fit for me, and I think the same for them. It was fairly smooth, I would say, yes.
Now, you joined after Hotel California came out. Huge hits on that album, winning 2 Grammys. There must have been some pressure from the label to follow up its success. Did you feel it, especially being the new guy?
I didn't feel it as much as those guys. They especially Don and Glenn, who penned most of that stuff. And I'm sure the other guys, too. But my feeling at the time was I did want to fit in smoothly, and I did my best to do so. You know, I just grabbed on to a train that was already going. I hopped on, you know, and that my job was to contribute as much as I could. That's what I did.
Yeah. How shocking was it to hear of Glenn Frey's passing last year? Sad.
Well, of course. Yeah. I don't really have a lot to say about that. I mean, a friend died. Anybody who's you're at all close to on any level, when that happens, it's obviously shocking. But you know, life goes on, and you know, here we are talking.
And Glenn was the impetus for the band reuniting in 1994, right after an Eagles tribute album came out. Glenn and Don had lunch together and decided, "Hey, let's do this one more time."
Yeah, it was a matter of timing. We finally decided to give it a try. We were only going to do like a couple of legs of touring, maybe. I can't remember exactly what the original plan was. It was 4 to 6 months, maybe. Maybe not even that long. But it was so huge that it actually sort of surprised me, I know, and how big it was, and I guess everybody else, and we decided to keep going.
Well, since 1984, you've released 6 solo records and have worked with a variety of artists over the years. What keeps you motivated to make music, to record albums, and tour?
Well, I think it's really basically my love for it. Also, it's what I do. I don't really think I could change occupations anytime real soon. So this is what I do. I love my work. It's the greatest job ever.
What's your favorite thing you like to do outside of music?
Well, I don't do a lot outside of music, actually.
No?
Not a lot. I'm a bit of a Native American art collector, but that's probably as far as I go outside of music. Comes and goes. Music is constant.
Well, we're looking forward to seeing you. Tickets are on sale now for Timothy B. Schmidt at the Cohoes Music Hall Tuesday, April 25th. Visit the Palace Theater box office or online at Ticketmaster.com. The new album, Leap of Faith, is out now. Visit TimothyBSchmidt.com to keep up with all things Timothy. Timothy, thanks so much for taking the time out to talk to me today, and we're looking forward to your show here in April.
Great. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.